Hello, it's great to have you listening to another edition of the Manchetti Podcast, The Man. Once again, I remind you that in addition to social media, you can also listen to us on Mice RJ Radio. In today's program, I'm joined for a chat by the commander of the Campos Municipal Civil Guard, Willon Livino, whom I thank in advance for his participation. Thank you, Livino.
I'm the one who thanks you for the opportunity to be here with you at this event, which has a large audience. And when we find an event with a large audience, we are happy to share information, understanding that we will reach an ideal number of people and answer all the questions that may arise.
Livino, let's talk about a process that is quite controversial from its conception, its idea, to its implementation, which is what is happening now, which is the issue of the armed guard. The Campos Guard has already trained its first class and is already operating with armed agents. All the guards are armed. How does it work? How does this whole process of responsibility and accountability work? How does the armed group of the Campos Municipal Guard function?
Well, we trained the first group, and the second group has already started. And this is a gradual process. We can't take the entire garden for 700 agents and put them the classroom. We don't have the time, resources, and also the daily demands of our work activities. Our teaching method, we've implemented an average of 135 hours of instruction, while the ID requested by the Ministry of Justice is 100 hours. We've added a few more hours, and that's what we want. We want to provide more qualification. Campos is a novelty, an armed guard. But it's not the same in the country. In the country, we already have our guards who have been armed since their founding. São Paulo has been operating armed for over 30 years. Well, several guard forces in the country have already started their activities carrying firearms. And as many experts say in municipal Americanos that have armed guards, crime decreases, comes less. This allows the military police to focus their activities on other areas. Crimes of lesser offensive potential, which are dealt with in urban areas on the streets on a daily basis, such as is street liberalicu and crimes street piluni. Opportunity. As soon as the security guards are patrolling effectively, they can prevent it because a visible presence of the agent on the street, equipped, trained, ready to act, ultimately brings greater security, and therefore we can achieve a more coercive security cone. Sanachsega, our current scenario.
Today, Mayor Vladimir has even changed this discourse a little, but back when he was a candidate and later at the beginning of his first term, he strongly advocated for an armed group that would only operate in the central area of Campos, not Landranjos, not a large group within the municipal guard. So how will it work today? In practice, even though it has already started, how will this armed group function? Will there be a restriction on the area of operation? And what is the size of this force?
So, the first armed unit is made up of approximately 40 agents. That's a number that doesn't even reach 10% of the guards you walk, which ends up being insignificant considering the large municipal territory. And what was planned? It will be the Special Operations Group, which is our GOI. Next will be the Canine Operations Group, known as the GOC, followed by the Traffic Division. And eventually, all agents de SANES capable of armed operations will receive. It's not a matter of simply saying, oh, I want to arm the GOI. No. We'll see who is qualified ahead. We'll see which agent meets the requirements, passes the psychological exam, passes the technical evaluation, and then grant the right to carry weapons to that agent. If they are not qualified, they will be excluded. They will be excluded from armed operations. He will be there acting effectively in the municipal civil guard, but not in armed combat, hit and battle act.
Possession and carrying have different meanings, yes. Does the agent have a permit to carry? Does he leave with a permit or does he leave with possession?
How does it work?
He leaves with a permit to carry. A permit to carry is the license to move around armed. Possession is having the document to keep that weapon inside your home to guarantee your territorial security. It's like within the boundaries of your home, you have possession to prevent you from suffering a break-in or robbery immediately, or to preserve your life or your property. But a permit to carry is for you to move around with it outside your home.
Well, can Guard Levino, the agent, take this gun home with him, please? Is this weapon kept in some space belonging to the Municipal Guard? How does it work and what is daily routine? Of these, armed agent, agento.
So his permit to carry means he can have the weapon to defend his physical integrity on or off duty.
But in the specific case of the security guard, right, in the case of this guard, can he take the weapon that the municipality itself provides him with him? It's just a curiosity.
Depending on the case, he can take the weapon home. Because what happens? We have shift changes, and we have those specific cases where the guard duty is considered to be on uninterrupted service. These are the guards who work in the security of the authorities. The guards who work in some specific actions where carrying a weapon is often necessary, and they are often called outside of their working hours to be able to act in some way.
These
are the positions that are designated to provide specific security. So this guard will have permanent custody of the weapon. Meanwhile, the officer who will be on shift changeover, he will take over the weaponry. When he leaves the shift, you will hand over the weapon, remembering that he has the right to have his personal weapon, and his permit will already guarantee that he can carry this equipment as well. Well, this weapon, which is the agent's personal property, he can carry. So this is a way to guarantee the officer's safety. The officer has the right to carry his own weapon during and outside of working hours, and has the right to carry the institution's weapon during and outside of working hours.
We'll talk about other issues related to the guard as well, but this is a subject that always sparks interest, right? Because also, and I want to hear your opinion, those who have been guard commanders in other opportunities also know about the issue of security. Well, Levino, recently there was a relaxation of the rules before the municipal number of inhabitants to be able to arm the guard, and there was a relaxation. We see, for example, the small neighboring city of San Juan de Bar. Mayor Carla Capute made a recent video talking about the intention to arm the guard. What is your opinion as the current commander of the guard on this relaxation of the rules and the fact that we will almost have a municipal police force in each municipality? Will also require an integration of work between these municipalities where the guards are armed.
Finally, what is your opinion regarding this relaxation of the rules and the possibility of more municipalities in the region having armed guards?
Wasn't a matter of relaxing the rules. I see it. More a matter of bringing equality and justice. For example, we have several municipalities here that don't have 50,000 inhabitants as residents. And the previous law said that they couldn't arm their guards, but crime doesn't follow laws sabum. So what did the Supreme Court do? It went there and suppressed that third article, the third paragraph of Article 6, which said that the municipal guard had to have more than 50,000 inhabitants to be able to obtain the right to carry a firearm. And so they suppressed it, saying, look, crime knows no borders. It doesn't consider IBG data when deciding where to act. Consequently, every security operative has the right to carry a firearm to protect society and to safeguard his or her own personal safety. I think that right was suppressed. It wasn't liberalization, it was justice granted by the Supreme Court, which recognized that all security personnel, regardless of the population size, have the right to have armed guards for the defense of society and physical integrity. Many cities like Bahia, São Paulo, and other states face this problem, because they were already armed before law 10,000. 826 of 2003, they already had the right to carry firearms and were already working to protect people and property.
Sure.
Following the implementation of law 10,126 and in compliance with its stipulations, they had to work unarmed. This resulted in immediate reprisals from criminal elements, as they had previously operated armed. They went to court, requested their gun permits back, and obtained a safe conduct pass where the agents and the public administration themselves filed a security order and a safer conduct pass, which is a prevent them measure to prevent them from being arrested for carrying a firearm. Look at the inconsistency there. That's what was given to them in the first place. Then our association, our unions, our federations filed a representation for a direct action of unconstitutionality, ADI, regarding the article of the law, which the Supreme Court accepted and brought equality among all municipalities to prevent the agents who are most active, which unfortunately we have even here in the state of Rio de Janeiro, from migrating to smaller municipalities where it is understood that there is less security. There, they are sovereign.
Now, this is even a hook for a question I was already thinking about here regarding the issue of the military police's personnel. Well, I know it's sometimes complicated to talk about institutions like this, but it's a fact, you know, to speak for yourself, but not me, because as a journalist, we can give our opinion. Well, it's a fact that the number of police officers for the 8th BPM doesn't adequately serve the region. There's been a gradual decrease in the number of personnel in the 8th BPM over the years. But all these municipalities in the region managing to at least arm their guards, at least most of them to be more precise, do you believe we'll see practical results in reducing the level of violence in the region?
So, in my view, what needs to be done is integration between institutions. Nobody can do anything alone. There's no use for municipalities to create their guards. Arm them, equip them, train them, and not work together. Because quite often, a single hand can only reach a certain distance. It requires another hand to be able to reach farther away. So when we work together in an integrated way, I think we'll have more success. There's no use arming the guard if they don't work together with other public security agencies. I think Campos will only be able to move forward when public security agencies work in an integrated and cohesive way. Why? When we put our officers on the streets working with the military police, we increase in the number of personnel. When we put them together, they will be separated. We will have separate agents with separate thinking, and crime will continue to advance. So let's work in an integrated way, and certainly the increase in armed, equipped, and trained security personnel will add up, and that's how we will achieve a reduction.
Levino, you have been commander of the guard on other occasions, and you also dealt with the issue of the statute which was recently voted on, approved, sanctioned, and the Internal Affairs Department and Ombudsman were established. Effectively, from then on, what changed the Municipal Civil Guard?
A lot changed, because before, we had an institution that only had 4 legally constituted agents to be able to act in the management of the institution. Today, we have 30 agents. Well, the service became more streamlined administratively. We created operational agents, operational management. And in this way, we were able to legitimize these services that were already being implemented routinely. Equality, respect, dignity, and coherence. These are the principles we integrate into our daily work within our institution, Mudrishan. Because when we take a civil servant who is unequal,
footing. We did the others and put them in charge of a service. They are just another one who doesn't get the recognition they deserve. When we give them a position or put them in charge of a service, they become obligated to evolve and produce the best possible results, because otherwise they will be removed from that role. It is precisely the type we're looking for. Our agents need to evolve, bring in new knowledge, actively seek out and acquire knowledge, and then share with those under their command. Only then can we create a guard force that is stronger, more proactive, and better prepared for the challenges ahead. Because our ultimate goal is to provide the best possible service to our families, our children and grandchildren, who are out on the streets relying entirely on the safety and security that our work provides.
Then
we all want our loved ones to receive top-notch care. And that includes my family. My family members will be best. Your family members will receive the same. This way we build a continuous cycle of positive interactions. And the statute brought that. We professionalized all the activities of the guard, and those who don't professionalize won't survive. So we have to bring technical knowledge. We have to bring operational knowledge so that our daily work can provide better service to society. And the statute brought that. In addition to internal and external oversight, because it includes the Internal Affairs Office and the Ombudsman's Office, where all the demands are directed, find many things arrive, various issues. There are absurd things that make no sense. What even so? The Internal Affairs Office investigates to ascertain the facts, because it's their obligation to do so, to be able to say what happened, what didn't happen. If there's a need to punish, there will be. If there's no need to punish, there won't be. And that's how we run our institution. We are new. We are here to learn more every day. Learning and evolving and seeking the best for our city.
Now, as I said earlier, you have several years of experience in commanding the Municipal Guard, whose the profile of the Guard has changed a lot in recent years, right, Lavino?
The Guard has gone from almost just guarding public property and guiding traffic to being an effective, visible security agent, truly engaged in visible policing, Jerome.
Now, especially with the issue of weaponry, the professionals who were already there managed to update themselves. You gave them opportunities to update themselves for this moment, and the newcomers arrive with this new vision as well.
So we have an annual qualification calendar. Despite what you might think, our veteran agents are quite active. An example of this was this past summer, where we worked at the Saint-Thomé Lighthouse. 90% of the personnel who acted there in an exemplary manner are veterans of the Guard. So it shows that we seek to qualify ourselves, to be able to continue serving. The newcomers came in to give the institution a breath of fresh air, and they will be welcome. They will always be welcome. But the veterans there still give outstanding performance. So that makes me very proud.
Lavino, and from the inside, you know, from those who are on the inside, the institution has had some problems, often reported problems with vehicles, problems with uniforms. Anyway, there are always complaints in public and public service, especially from those who are on the inside, who see how the machine really works. Today, what is the outlook you as commander see for the institution? Has it improved? Have you kept pace with this evolution?
There is no perfect world. If I told you that we live in a perfect world, I would be lying. But I can say that every effort is made to ensure that our employees are well served so that they can better serve others. There was a complaint regarding sunscreen. She said, this type of complaint is unacceptable. We still have sunscreen from last year that the agents haven't gone to pick up. So, the person complained about not having sunscreen, if there is sunscreen, even if it's not available. But then, the complaint stopped. But there are justified complaints, because the employee often wants to offer the best. If they want to offer the best, they have the right to receive the best, so they can serve society in the best possible way. So we will observe these demands and seek to resolve everything. We purchased
uniforms. There was a complaint about a lack of uniforms, which was justified. We made a huge purchase of uniforms. Enough to outfit the entire institution, and these need to be renewed. Things have to keep happening. It calls for, planning, it calls for budgeting, it calls for a number of things we try to do. The institution doesn't stop, and we don't stop because I'm a member of the institution. I'm here, and I'm not a passenger. I'm one of the drivers. Thus, I'll remain until the final point. I won't abandon the journey midway. I want an institution that will reach the very end in the best possible way. That's why we work. We face all the difficulties together with the staff. I find myself saddened many times when I need to take a vehicle out of service to pull it off the street because it requires some kind of maintenance or repair. This is because the officer, the employee, also wants to be active out there, engaged in their duties. I get sad when a staff member wants to be well-dressed and their uniform is a bit faded from the sun. That saddens them, and it saddens us, too. That's why we strive to provide them with the best itamu and various other things. For example, we had a problem at the institution with the recovery of officers. An officer would get injured and be out of work for 6-8 months because of a physical injury. Now we have physiotherapy and the gym working together. Administratively, this has reduced the officer's sick leave from 6 months to 2 months. They return to work faster. This entails actions we seek to implement, bringing tangible benefits to the employee, the public administration, and society at large. Because when we make an effort to keep a vehicle running or to get officers back on duty, we gain human resources, administrative benefits, and the public benefits because the officer is back on the streets. And that's what we're trying to do, contracting radio equipment for us to communication between officers buying vehicles with vehicles. Officers can better serve and be better served and making agreements with the Ministry of Justice to acquire resources to operate. These are things we're trying to do. This is something I learned over time. In my first term, still a bit of a novice in the administrative side, we accomplished some things. We managed to inaugurate the headquarters. We managed to incorporate the bonus into our salary. Our salary went from a high school level, from a primary school level to high school level. We achieved some things. And today we are here to try to achieve more. If not even here to put it, the effort to achieve these things, then there's no point in me being here. I have to vacate the seat, let someone else do it. So our mission is to strive to do the best for our employees and for the employees to do the best for society. Because if the employee only earns but doesn't multiply that benefit for society, then they are not worthy of receiving anything. One of my internal battles is that the employee must receive the best in order to offer the best. And we also saw this in the issue of our armament. Tita, with weapons, officers feel more comfortable and secure being on the streets at Tulan, Durat, Ukond, 5 or even 1 a.m. because they know they won't be prey or a victim of Glutamov. Awful crime anymore. There'll be someone who's truly there to defend society.
Lavino, you raised the point, right? You're from the Municipal Civil Guard. I spoke with Ibi Apino some time ago, shortly after he took over the security portfolio, and I questioned him about a parallel I drew. In the military police, for example, someone who becomes a lieutenant colonel and takes command of a battalion rotates through the battalion. They change positions, but they remain at that rank and continue to receive a lieutenant colonel salary in the Municipal Guard. In the Municipal Guard, it's different. When you leave, you return to your original position. There's no hierarchy based on that rank, let's say, or position. He even said it was a point that really needs to be reviewed, that needs to be discussed, that it's a national debate, not just a national debate, not just a debate within campuses. Has anything changed? What's your perspective? I think there's room for change, and this isn't just about the campuses. It's a national issue regarding the command of the guard.
So, the command of the guard will always be an appointment by the head of the executive branch. That's something I don't see as healthy, wasn't it?
Why?
I'll go there and put this in charge of the guard.
You're the mayor.
Tennyson campaigned for Gabriel. He's there. He's not going to do his best to make you a good mayor. And every head of department has to do their best for the manager. And the manager has to offer the best to society. So I think that will continue to be an appointment, just like in the armed forces and the auxiliary forces, in all public security. In all public security institutions, the appointment is made by the head of the executive branch to have the best bomb response. The issue of whether you enter as a guard and die as a guard is something we're focusing on in the career and salary plan. And this involves various actions, plans, and projects to make it happen, not just in campus. As you yourself emphasized, it's a national issue. Many municipalities have already achieved it, and I'm sure we will too. We are resilient, so we strive, we grow every day. We fight every day to be able to get the things we want. We're also battling for a better career plan, and I'm positive we're going to manage to gain access to it. Mai entrar as a third category guard. In order to serve as a category guard. A colonel, he assumes his rear as a lieutenant and leaves as a colonel. But he's still a military police officer.
He didn't stop being a military police officer.
He certainly didn't. Leave one institution as a lieutenant to then become a colonel in another.
He continued being a military police officer.
I was born a guard, and I will die a guard. I was born a third category guard. Today I am a first category guard. So, this evolution already exists in our institution, but we want a better quality of life with our career plan. Career path and salaries. We will have the conditions to evolve. This evolution comes with time in service, with qualifications, with internal exams, with external degrees. It comes in various forms. And the one who will benefit from this is society. Because for me to evolve, I have to qualify myself. And when I am qualified, more and more qualified each day, society will benefit. Everything revolves around better service delivery. Nothing is done solely for the employee. Employee, do you want to grow? I'll give you the opportunity. Come here, get qualified to provide the best service, and you will grow. That's what makes our activities worthwhile. It's no use wanting to be the general inspector of the municipal civil guard with a fixed salary and life, and not serving society, and not providing the best service to society. So what are we seeking? We want a career and salary plan that allows me to advance within my institution, and with that advancement, I and my peers can serve in the best possible way. That's the difference. Starting as a lieutenant ends up a colonel. In that trajectory, they evolve. They evolve. They evolve professionally. They evolve in various ways, and society benefits. That's what's missing in many municipal institutions. Like the civil police in the country, many are still developing their career and salary plans. The state, I think, already has one, but some haven't yet established. These are things that are lacking, not only in municipal guards, but in other institutions as well. And I'm sure we'll achieve it. Mayor V. Parmir is very sensitive to security issues. We've already discussed the career and salary plan. Well, the budgetary aspect that goes
beyond my control is a worrying thing, not only for Campos, but since we're talking about the whole country, the budgetary, financial, public sector, it's in constant fluctuation. And when you talk about giving a car plan with a salary increase, you're already making a forecast of a salary increase for that employee. I'm not defending it. I'm a career civil servant. I want the best. I want to provide the best for my family. And I'm saying here that too, we need to have a solid public administration so that I can have a guarantee of my salary progression, of salary evolution, so that I can serve myself in society. It's no use just wanting to evolve, wanting only irrationally to receive the car plan with this salary, which is what I need, but without having the response of revenue collection, without having the responsibility of the financial evolution of the country, of the municipality. So I would be being a hypocrite. So what do we need to know? So where exactly will this revenue come from that will lead to a gradual increase in my salary according to the established career path plan? It falls to the public administration, that is, me, to ensure that my career plan, encompassing salary and accompanying car, is not just proposed, but also fully implemented. I want something that is launched and implemented so that I can continue to have my career progression. I can't just think, oh, it would be easy for the mayor to say, look, I'm going to give you a career path plan. He goes there, makes a law, and the law sits there for 10 years. Then another mayor comes along and tries to put it into practice. That's not healthy. What's healthy is for him to implement it so that we have the gradual progression. We deserve it. Public servants deserve it. He really deserves this. Elani, he's the first, you see, the very first point of contact between the public and the public service. We are the ones are out there on the streets every day. The municipal civil guard is out on the streets every day. Every day you leave the studio, you walk down the street and see a municipal guard. That's the figure of public service. So this figure of public service has to serve you in the best way possible. And for them to serve you in the best way possible, they have to be valued. I appreciate this acknowledgement, of course, but I must exercise responsibility when I make this request.
Yes, Levilo, to conclude, we talked a lot about the special operations group, right? Which is what's being formed at the moment, but the guard goes far beyond that. I'd like you to talk a little about how these municipal guard groups work, where they're also the agents of the battalion with dogs. How is this work developed in the guard, and how has the guard been evolving with these groups, the environmental group, for example? How have these groups been evolving in recent years?
The canine operations group is also the special operations group, right?
It's essentially that. In our statutes, we created the RUMU. The RUMU has the GOI NGO and GOC, which are the dogs. And this group is on the front lines of operations alongside the GOI.
It's the group that's the first to arrive to respond to demands. For example, when there's some kind of incident at the administrative headquarters, I, the GUI, and the GOC go to location Dublins. It's the special operations group and the canine operations group. When we have any kind of service with a more detailed, more arduous demand, let's say, unfortunately, it is, and the GO and GOC go there. We also have the GPS operations group.
Yeah, this team is focused on helping people who are currently experiencing ONTRE-ERES vulnerability. These are the people who are there, the homeless, the elderly, the children.
So it's also a specialized group that has its relevance to the municipality, its relevance to society. You go to the bus station. You often go to Jardim San Benedito there in Praça da República. You see the agents who
arrive, approach,
want to know if the person is doing something wrong, and they have their relevance to the municipality. So these are groups that actually have the impact and want to do better. We have the school patrol that is in the schools every day. I wish we could serve all the schools at the same time, but unfortunately, our resources are still limited. I'm sure we will be able to advance further. And our school patrol will be able to serve the largest number of schools possible, because it's important to raise our children.
Yeah.
Because when we take care of our children, the adults are better people. Our children, well cared and well assisted, become better adults. We have an environmental program that deserves to be structured in order to better serve them. We have some demands that we need to address. Makuilimili, Mehli, Biscar, mainly Tinoco agreements with these state and federal agencies to be able to resume some rescue operations. But today we still conducting inspections because we do have a triage treatment center in the municipality. When an agent finds an injured animal or a puppy here, we have to take it to a veterinary clinic.
But there's one here. It's not possible to establish any kind of agreement.
We used to have the Center for the Protection of Animals at UEF, and the State University of Arizona Center, and the treatment center was at UEF, and today it no longer exists. It's a demand that we are looking for ways to bring back to Campos every day, because Campos is a huge city.
Yeah.
And the problems are enormous too. The larger the municipality, the bigger the problems. So, with this, I think scale of operation, we need to have a great capacity for coordination to be able to serve the community. That's what we strive to do every day. Every day, together with the Secretary of the Environment and the directors of INEA, we are seeking information from IBAMA so that our environmental guard, of which I am a part, I am also an environmental guard, can provide the best possible service.
It's no use. Today, the environmental guard service is limited
to enforcement. Right now, we are not conducting rescues due to these constraints. However, if we should happen to rescue a young animal, we must transport it to Cerro Pirica. And to put that animal in a vehicle, I need authorization to transport it. Let's say an accident happens. What is this animal doing here? Do you have authorization to transport this animal? Then the officer will be charged with the crime of trafficking in wild animals. That alone is the absurdity I'm talking about here. But it's what can happen. So we don't want that. Then we have our traffic unit, which is very active. And with the arrival of the new agents, we've managed to improve the quality of its operations. Our traffic here, I think it's one of the worst in the state. And the problems, as I said, are also the biggest in the state, because the greater the demand, the greater the problem, and the larger the number of officers needs to be. So we're looking to increase the number of officers. We conduct periodic traffic courses so that the officers have empathy, quality, technique, and knowledge to better serve the public. And these are things we strive to incorporate into our work. We have the PO, police officer, who also take care of public buildings. These are the officers who are in the CCM secretariats, those who are where the guard originated. By its very essence, the guard was formed for our specific needs, with the sole purpose of controlling traffic and managing public buildings. And today we are outside of public buildings, and we've seen that to properly serve the public building, I have to surround the public building, which are the people. It's no use taking care of the doors and walls if society isn't protected. That's why we created the groups to be able to meet these demands, which are certainly evolving and more each day in terms of public safety and service to society.
Lovino, once again, I wanted to thank you for your participation and extend an open invitation for the next opportunity.
Yes, it will be an honor for me to be to bring more news. I'm sure that this year will be a year of evolution. We have managed to evolve a lot. When I assumed command of the guard in 2021, we had only two vehicles available for patrol. Today we have 20 patrol cars. So that shows how much we have evolved. But there are 20 patrol cars, there are 20 problems because they need maintenance, they need care, they need various things so that the officer can be on the street to working decently because I don't. The officer working in a patrol car that will leave him on foot, that will leave him unprotected, that will leave him vulnerable, that will leave him in a humiliating situation. I want the agent on the street so we can leave headquarters and return safely. Hello. Serving our society in the best way possible.
Thank you again, and to you who have followed us this far, stay tuned to our social media as well. Until next time.